Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
This is going to be just an uncomfortable podcast for everyone.
Why?
Because Poodle's uncomfortable.
I'm fine. I'm. You know what? When I'm on the air, I'm fine.
I'm a professional.
Y'all,
that is not true.
You're not a professional. I'm not a professional.
We all know how I've weaponized the podcast when I'm not... when I came at Lyft and I tried to shut down Lyft because that man didn't...
Two people retweeted it. Only two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't fun.
Thank you for that, by the way, for retweeting
this
that.
This is Reality Gaze in London.
We're in London, and that's why we're going to be uncomfortable, because Poodle kept saying, well, we're going to have to do it in your room, because your room can't be smaller than mine. And then he walked in my room and said, oh, my God.
Yours is like...
They're very small.
No, but it's...
So we're in Poodle's room, which is actually double the size of mine.
It's not double. Like, I would say
it's bigger.
1.5 times.
It's very low lit, though. There's only one chair. Poodle's having to lounge on the bed. The only time he's used to performing on a bed is another type of performance.
Yeah, and I feel like I should be against the window, being banged and people pointing at me from the street.
But we're going to power through, because we've got a meet and greet in London.
We have a meeting, y'all. If you're in London or adjoining provinces,
yes,
come on down to see us in London at the Old Queen's Head.
Yes.
Wednesday
night. We're
confirmed,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
we're going to be... This is unlike a lot of live shows, because you're just going to get raw-dogged by us, just meeting... the meet and greet cost gives you... We're going to be doing karaoke. We're going to be doing 90 Day Fiancé games and trivia.
Yeah.
We've been coming up with questions.
Having some pints. Yeah. If you hear people talking, by the way, y'all, Poodle's room is right next to the cleaning closet. The janitor. So
that's not... Let's call it the not the maids. What do we call them?
I don't know. The cleaning crew. He's going to ask him to move rooms.
I did not know that you could just talk on your cell phone when you worked in London cleaning rooms.
If they knock on the door, I'm not going to press stop. I'm literally just going to keep the show going.
I think that's,
we're fine.
Anyway, London is lovely.
It is lovely.
It is very cloudy today and rainy. We do our podcast talk or panel on
shoot Wednesday?
I thought it was Tuesday. We do it on Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
So it's all big Wednesday. We're doing a panel that morning about reality TV and then a meetup that night.
And then I might have other meetups scheduled.
Yeah.
Y'all, the British men have come out of the woodwork. Holy, my apps are lighting up like this is 2001 Space Odyssey, and it looks, and I'm Hal.
Well, they probably think you're royalty, y'all, because Poodles, I don't like to admit when Poodle's right. He doesn't like to admit when I'm right, but we both do it when it's, when
I don't
it's
know
needed.
When, I don't know when you're right, but yeah.
But so Poodle's always sitting as a royal nose, and I'm like, he's full of himself, but sure, whatever. I just nod my head and go, okay. So I went to a museum yesterday, and there was all these busts, and I went, they all have Poodle's nose. That bitch was right. So maybe you saw, they think you're royalty.
You saw Lady Marmalade, Lady Poodle Marmalade.
I did. Yes.
And Jonathan Winthrop Poodles.
Yes.
At Kensington Palace.
There was a...
They were the courtesans.
Poodle Boudreaux of Suffolk.
Yes. Sussex, I believe.
Yes. Sir Poodle, sorry.
Yeah.
Ma'am Poodle, but lady. But anyway...
I don't think we have a ton of announcements. Y'all, our live shows when we get back to the U.S., if I ever go back.
If we ever go back. The tickets are still on sale for the meet and greet, by the way.
Yes.
Y'all, there's plenty of seats. And then
go
yes,
to our Instagram and see our link tree.
Our live shows, yes. They're hopping. There's still plenty of tickets on sale, y'all. Get your tickets. Oh, boy, I think they're right there.
I told you.
I know.
No, it's the closet. It's right there.
We've got our San Francisco Pride show coming up.
Yes.
That's going to be exciting. Denver.
Minneapolis. Names of other cities.
Yeah. So we're like a Janet Jackson escapade song. We're just going everywhere. And y'all have an escapade and come to our show.
Ooh.
Poodle's having a lot of escapades in London.
Y'all, I've never seen anything like it.
I have never seen you actually so kind of keyed up in my life.
They're coming at me.
You know, when you're on the phone.
I might have to move here.
When you're on phone with a phone company to get your phone on roaming for an hour and a half, you want dick.
Dick.
All right. I think that's.
I think that's it.
Our charity this month. What's the name of it?
The National. I always get this wrong, but it's something National Foundation for Abortion Funds.
Abortion funds. It's on the Facebook group. It started.
Helps women travel state to state to get abortion procedures.
So you can give there or just give directly if you're not a part of the Facebook group. We've got our ménage à trois. This last week, we had John and Teresa from Married to Reality.
Yep.
Everybody seemed to enjoy that, which is good. And then this week, we have Wahima from Just Call Me Wah.
Just Call Me Wah.
And so we're going to be talking about, she's been watching all the shit shows we've been watching, for, including Love After Lockup, for a while. She didn't watch the newest season, but we talk about Lalu. We talk about her thoughts on this 90 Day.
Yep.
And
she's like me,
stuff.
Y'all. She likes to go out to clubs and get all kinds of crazy.
She's a woohoo crazy girl.
She and I are going to go out downtown and clubs that don't have names.
Y'all kind of are the same, and I was scared. Anyway, that's dropping on Thursday. And then we're Below Deck is still going. Summer House is gone for a bit.
Yes.
One break. And then Plathville, that was it.
Plathville.
I love y'all. Seriously. I want you to listen to our recaps, but even if you don't, you should watch Plathville.
Watch Welcome to Plathville.
People are coming at going, oh my God, forgot what a good show it is. Episode 2 is going to drop this week as well on the free feed. But then after that, it's a try before you buy. You got to subscribe on the Patreon at the
$8. Mama Plath is trying her image. Trying to flip the script, y'all.
She is.
Woo. And don't buy it. Any of you are watching this and going, you know, Mama Plath is trying. She's blah, blah, blah. You need to watch earlier episodes. She is a snake.
I wonder who is more cunning, Mama Plath or Jabri's mother? Boy.
You know, I think Jabri's mom is doing it from a good place.
Oh, we're going to have a conversation.
Really?
I completely disagree.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that I agree with what she's doing.
No.
But I think she's doing it from a good place.
Totally disagree.
So, wow, this is a 180 for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really liked her in the beginning.
Oh, I think she's sinister.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like her. I'm saying, but I feel like she's trying to do right by her son. What do you think the sinister element is? Let me back up. What do you think her main goal is? And do you think she's doing it for the good of her son?
No, I don't think she's doing it for the good of her son.
Interesting.
I think she's very selfish. I think she's being very selfish.
And what is the selfishness to do? What is that?
I don't know the reasons, but it's just clear that, I mean, what her motivations are, because we don't know yet, but just, she's just made up her mind that she doesn't like Miona.
Yeah.
And I think also she has had a lifetime of babying her child, and she wants to keep being overly involved in his life.
You're saying it doesn't matter who came.
Oh, no.
It would be, yeah. She would be okay.
But maybe she has a problem with that she's not an American. I have no idea.
That's interesting. Maybe it's the fact that she's softened it so much from the therapist angle.
Oh yeah, maybe I get it just from like doing therapy. Like I get what she's trying to do, and it's just I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Anyway. I think I understand what you're saying. I think she's doing it because from what she this is how I think. I think she knows her son is helpless.
Yeah, I think
world.
Yeah.
And I think he is always going to choose the shiniest, most ridiculous moronic object in front of him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I think Miona is a lot smarter than she lets on.
Oh, for sure.
She's probably the smartest person he's brought home. I can only imagine the other girls.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But I think the reason why she's so cold shoulder to Miona is she sees something in her that was different than the others. And I think this is all about protecting him, but it's all going wrong. I don't see it as sinister though.
Oh, yeah, I think it's very selfish and fear based.
Yeah. I think these are two sides of the same coin though.
Maybe.
I think she's telling herself that.
I'll give you some examples when we talk about her.
Okay. Yeah. I don't see her as a villain as much as I see.
100 disagree. I totally think she's a villain.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know if you've done a 180 like this on someone.
I don't know. It's normally you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I said I loved her, but no. Anyway, we're not talking about them now.
I like it how it's 3 o'clock, y'all, and I now can't see in my hotel room. It's so cloudy outside.
It is. It is.
Because God forbid there be overhead light in a hotel room. God forbid. I may have to switch places with you because I literally can't see.
Wherever you need to sit is fine with me.
Oh, how brave.
No, I'm saying I'll sit on your bed.
Let's just talk about the show.
Let's talk about Bilal and Shida. We're going to jump into the first
You smell round. Amazing.
You smell amazing.
I didn't know I put perfume in your cell. Y'all, the documentary version of Sleeping with the Enemy just gets worse and worse week to week. Every time.
Yeah, they're terrible.
It's not even them. It is the situation that I watch her body language. I watch the way he talks to her. Everything feels like shutting her down and breaking her down to be something like a fucked up sex slave.
And they're going to get married.
I have tea that someone sent us.
Oh, I don't want to know. I don't want to know a spoiler.
Okay, fine. I'll tell you later. Can yell at him. I was going to share something that a sissy reached out and told her who knew Bilal.
We can do it at the end of the show if you want, because some people don't want to do or end of their segment.
You know what, y'all?
Well, some people don't want to be spoiled.
It's this isn't
some Carl's wife is going. No,
this isn't Severance.
Shooter.
This
shooter.
Isn't the end of Severance.
TV. Go turn off the TV, Shooter.
It's a fucking reality show.
Carl's wife doesn't realize we're not on TV.
Y'all, this we're gonna have some Nigel's wives tonight.
We are.
Nigel! How many kilometers do I have to drive to go into the... You know I don't see well at night. Chauncey, go get mother's glasses. Nigel, pour me some tea, will you? Nigel does speak that way.
No one ever understands him. It's just...
like a Jim Broadbent-looking motherfucker. With a big walrus mustache. Okay, let's talk about Bilal and Shida. Y'all, he got her a latte. I had to rewind it. I had never heard someone say latte before with a short A.
I didn't know he said it that way.
Did you go back and listen?
I believe you. Of course he does.
I got you a latte.
Just another thing to make him a monster.
Maybe that's an alternate pronunciation, but I've never heard of that.
No, I've never heard latte.
And she's like, can I drink it here? And I'm like, that's how you know you've been brainwashed. When you have to ask for permission, where, and he's like, you can drink your coffee anywhere, but pick up things in the bedroom, because that's just, we need to talk about that. Pick up your drawers and your socks. And he shames the hell out of her. This is hard to watch for me.
It's very, when you look at, they're one of those things where if you, you really have to see, and I think honestly we're seeing not even all of it, but when you look at the whole picture, because if you just point out little moments, you don't get the, I think it's picture, you don't get the full story. And it's the reason why I think people say, oh my God, I didn't know my friend was in that type of relationship or blah, because they see just little snippets of somebody's life and they don't see this whole, the whole storyline. And I say that because when we get to the car thing, the things that happened in the car, I was a little bit like, if you just saw that, you wouldn't understand that scene for me was whole subtext of what was going on underneath for them.
This is how people get into these, you're slowly, things become normal. Little things like his OCD and her kind of trying to joke with him because he has set the pattern that, you know, he's a prankster, y'all. Waka waka. I'm going to take you to a dilapidated house, but I'm not going to smile the whole time. And I love jokes so much that then the next day, I'm going to keep it going. And then when you try to be funny with me, I'm going to show you I have no sense of humor at all.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to not play at all with whatever you do and tell you, like, the phrase we've been talking about. What did we talk about last time? Where it's like, I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, y'all, that phrase means you were raised wrong, I was raised right. Mm-hmm. And it's especially gross when you're talking about an American saying, I don't know what they do in Trinidad, mm-hmm. which means I don't know what they do in your godless country, mm-hmm. but in my country, we're civilized and we don't do that. Again, this episode had a ton of this couple, and I just get, I bet you $100 there is a sizable chunk of this audience, mostly women, who cannot watch this storyline because they are triggered the fuck every time if they've been with abusive man like this.
Because if you see, so let's just go into it. And so she brings up his OCD problem. He's like, I don't have an OCD. So a lot of it is that.
Did you hear him say, love you lots? Imitating her accent.
Yeah, I think that's a thing for them. That bothers me, but he's done that now several times. Either that's a.
It's a microaggression for me. It is a little thing.
No,
and
I agree. I agree. I don't like it.
But what you just said, it's a thing for them. I think that's how they're able to get through this. For us, the relationship is extremely dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, and I can't, and I think I said this like 2 weeks ago, they're going to be the couple who's happy. It's going to be like a Mark and Nikki situation where we never hear from them again.
Yeah, I think that's what I think. Yeah, because he's never going to do this show again.
Never.
I think he thought that he was going to be seen so well and because he's a narcissist.
Yeah.
Narcissists always think they're going to come off well.
Right.
And he does not. And it's also, if you watch what is triggering a lot to people that have gone through abusive situations, is put your grinder down for this.
Sorry.
You know what? You could have an hour and a half where you just don't get dick.
Sorry. I keep hearing it buzz.
Well, then I'm going to turn the phone off.
No, it's
you
fine.
Know, I'm going to take it's away fine. Your location. I'll put you in fucking
Help
Bali.
Do that. Bali.
Yes. Okay. So he's...
Ooh, I could find some stuff in Bali to
but
do.
But I just want
to
say, like, and I'm bringing this up because if you're going to, the people that meet Shida are going to say, man, she seems just so nervous. She seems so anxiety ridden.
Yeah.
What's wrong with her? Because even in the car, even my mind a little bit was like, okay, she just needs to calm down about this. Like, she's kind of spinning about this. But when.
Because they're going to Juma. They're going yes. to. But which is like Friday night Shabbat if you're Jewish.
Yes. And yeah. so it's. And so, because he tells her before, he said, one thing I am persnickety about is we can't be late. I hate tardiness. And if you know.
Again, it sounds like. And don't. And remember, the towels in the bathroom have to be late. Another
well,
right way.
It's all about how he's perceived.
Oh,
because he's 100%. So insecure. And so that's what all this is about. So.
And the by the way, his mother goes to this. It's not really a mosque, but this. It was Maja. Yeah, I believe
Maja. Yeah,
and the ex goes there, and
the
his
whole
kids.
Family. Yeah,
yeah.
And his mom's dad's kid, his dad, like they all went there. So this is his family, Maja, and so, and because of that, again, Shahid is nervous and. I started this. I was in there. I was thinking, okay, she's really like kind of being a little too. And I'll be honest. I thought in my head at first she's being a little too dramatic about this. Like, but then when you think about again, she was pranked about getting here.
Yeah,
like she's been lectured all the time. So this is
gaslit 24/7.
This is a reaction. Yes. So you got it. And I'm saying this because if you're watching this and you see yourself relate to Shida, start to look at the different ways your partner talks to you in your relationship.
Yeah. Figure out where you are and ground yourself and say, what things do I know are true?
Why is my chest always feeling yeah. tight? Why when someone comes home, I don't relax, but my chest tightens when I hear the garage door?
Yeah.
Those and that I'm telling you, that happens to Shida.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so anyway, so they're driving in she's saying, I'm looking forward to meeting your ex. He's like, yeah, she's cool. We respect one another. And Shida's like, I really want to get along because what she does directly affects me. And
did you notice this is really interesting and it happens every time she has something to say. He never validates what she says and instead plays it down.
He plays it down. She doesn't validate what he says either, I will say, but there's also... There's no way you're ever going to validate what he says
right.
because so, but that is something she could learn that probably would help her because you're right. And that he said she was talking about meeting the stress and he said, well, I met your family too.
He makes then, it about him. Yeah.
And she said, well, babe, that's not the same thing. And if you go, when I first thought, I thought in my head, I thought, honey, he was just trying to like, cause he says later, I was just trying to connect with you. But if you go back and you watch it, the way he said, I met your family too, was kind of like, I already took one for the team.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
It wasn't in an empathetic, compassionate way.
I completely thought it was that way.
So, but
she was trying to, he was trying to one up her.
So, yes. So it's, and when she tries to call him on that, like,
he's like, no, I was trying to empathize with you.
Because he's not going to take that responsibility.
He has no empathy. No, he's incapable.
No, I think, like I said, I think he's one of the most narcissistic social.
Then he says, so, he's basically says, she says, Bilal lectures me a lot. And she says, these are my feelings. I can't tell you how to feel. And then he's like, well, if you're going to meet my ex, the one thing you might want to do is get that really big it, y'all, with a completely straight face delivery, this is how people who are complete sociopaths like Bilal get by with saying, "I was just joking."
Now, this actually, they're here. "No, thank you. We're good today." So, on cue.
I'm telling y'all, all day long, they've been near here.
They probably,
and it's during the podcast.
They probably think you're doing something freaky.
Probably.
I mean, this goes back to context. If you look at just this moment, you're going to say, he's just trying to make a joke with her, and it was a joke. He was being, it was clear to me, and he was trying to like over exaggerate it and be ridiculous, so to make her laugh about it. And if you're looking at just, again, that slice of moment.
Yeah.
But when you look at the whole, where it is in the story of this, it is just like she's so wound up tight like a fucking just overstretched rubber band already.
But the thing is,
this isn't going to be a laughable joke to her.
Exactly. So he was trying to use humor at a time where, and it's not, and also she doesn't like things that are gross out humor. You mm-hmm. can tell she finds that to be really distasteful. Mm-hmm. He knows that. And he keeps needling her with it. It's fucking sick. And he knew she would freak out about it and not feel good, because the way he can control her best is when she's spinning.
Yes.
And, y'all, she gets upset, and the way she does that, she says, is she hits him on the back of the head.
Yes.
He gets fucking scary. And...
Well, and she... The thing is, too, she doesn't read the... I mean, I will say, on... devil's advocate for this.
No, I hear you. She should not have been pushing.
She should not have done that. And when he said it once, she should not have done it again.
No.
Like when she was grabbing him again and touching him, that actually was making me cringe.
She didn't. She actually has almost less self-awareness than he does.
Oh, she has none.
Yeah.
She has no self-awareness at all.
They're terrible because together.
Because she says... She was saying that later on when she says, "I was just teasing you." She actually wasn't teasing him. What this reminds me a lot of is like young, emotionally immature teenagers on both of their sides. I think she's emotionally mature, very, very emotionally immature. And I think that, which is a bad combination with this, because it's easy for her to be manipulated because she doesn't have the emotional wherewithal yet to know. But they remind me of young teenagers of when you're, you know, when you're starting to date someone or you have a friend that's always kidding around with you, but then there's actually some type of truth underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, she really wants to hit him. She wants to knock the shit out of him.
I agree with that.
Because she's angry. He really wants to make her feel gross and mm-hmm. make her feel like shit. But they do it all in this code of playfulness. And
that's why it's hard to watch.
Which is... Some people have relationships like that, and they're fine. It's like such a pet peeve to me, and I don't like that at all. So when she says, "I was just playing," I went, "You aren't just playing." But she doesn't have the awareness to even know.
What's interesting though is she does that. She hits him in the head, and he's like, "We keep our hands to ourselves," and that triggers her even more. And
because he does talk to her
like she's 4 years old.
Even like when they get in the car, I even wrote this. This is even before she even said it. I went, he's like, "Your seatbelt on?" I'm like, why are you asking her?
He then says, "Keep your hands to yourself and watch your tone." And y'all, there are moments of this. I've never been in like an abusive relationship, but when I see it happen, my stomach just drops way down to the floor. And when I hear things like "watch your tone," when people talk to anyone like that, it mm-hmm. just makes my skin crawl.
It's a threat. I mean, and it's, again, it goes back to, we don't know what his situation. I've been in experiences where my brother and I like physically like play around and stuff, but, and that's not a problem for us. But then I've like had friendships with other people and I'll go to do or whatever and they'll, you know, just explain to me. Some people, they have witnessed a lot of violence in their life.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff. So if you're watching and thinking, she just tapped his head. Like, no, don't. But, when someone touches you, don't listen to them.
But he won't explain it.
But he won't.
He immediately shames her.
Well, and shuts down.
Yeah. And he says, keep your hands. He's like, we don't do that. He says, It's disrespectful where I come from. So, I don't know what they do in Trinidad.
He can't be vulnerable.
So you're awful.
Whereas he had a moment and said, honey, I know you're playing around, but when you do that, it just reminds me of seeing someone I know getting hit.
Yeah.
And how can not anybody, if you love somebody, you would go, oh.
He's incapable of that.
But, you know, honestly, I think if he even said that to her, I don't know if she would fully get it because she's so emotionally mature.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, so, they're the worst couple together and they're going to be married for like 10 years.
Then he pulls over.
She's pregnant already.
Gross. You know? Then he pulls over, y'all.
Yes, he does.
And they just sit there and he's like, and I wrote down, and he says, Shida's being aggressive. Because God forbid a woman be aggressive. All the buzzwords that he uses for her are coded words that people use for men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that's why she was brought here in his way to be some type of sex doll that he takes out.
Well, I think it's right. You said earlier that he hates women.
Totally.
And I think because he probably
especially when women act like men.
Yeah. He probably makes the argument that, which they're, you know, this is true. He's if we watch this scene and the genders were flipped, we would be really
we would be
freaked out by just tapping. And but that's also because there, yes, men did get abused, but it's just we're in this situation. He's trying to take out the context of everything that he's doing of controlling her.
Right.
And he doesn't realize that that level of, she shouldn't have done it, but that was literally a tap compared to the like complete evisceration of her soul that he's doing to her all the time.
And I wrote down, so he can play jokes and do anything, but he decides what isn't good for her. And he's always going to call the tune.
Oh, always.
And he will shut down. And for her, she is in an economic state of inequality here.
Oh, yeah.
And she knows he has the last word.
Yeah.
And so it just, I think that's the unjust part of it where I can't. This, watching them, I always am just ready for just, I'm always just, I'm, I feel like at any moment, he's going to yell at her. Or, and I don't think he'd be,
he'll never yell at
her. Yeah, but I don't think he'd be physically abusive to her because he'd never want to give that to her.
I don't think he'll yell at her because I think he is very concerned about
how he appears.
And especially just being a black man in America. I don't think he ever wants to perpetuate that.
Right.
Like angry black man. I just know I can tell that in him. And so he'll never yell, but he'll get even.
Yeah.
For sure he'll get even.
And even when the cameras weren't on in the house.
So I don't think he would ever yell at her. I think he's a punisher. He's not an aggressor.
Neglector. Like he would.
What I was going to say. So what he does is exactly what he did at the Masha and later on in the car is that he gives her basically the silent treatment. And here you are bringing this. Now, I don't know inside the, I don't know if it's a temple or inside the room, if men and women can't congregate together. So it, I think there's is there a bit of that? Because she's just standing there.
It didn't seem like she was, it doesn't seem like he was talking to her at all.
And
they are technically married, so he should be able to
through the religion. And so again, if you watch it, you think Shida's just too shy. She needs to speak up for herself. She needs to just go up and say hi to people and introduce herself, which is what people do when they're a little probably older and you are a little emotional. But again, when it goes to how immature she is and also she's terrified probably to do anything now on her own.
Yeah.
And maybe we're making her too much to be, come at us, sissies. Maybe we don't mean to like make just, quote, a victim of Shida, but it's just hard not to watch this and not just think that this woman is living in fearful anxiety 24/7.
I think that the moment of touching him and then going at it too much and doing it, that was not something she should have done. I didn't like it. I'm just taking that in context of all of the controlling, really masochistic behavior on his part.
Yeah.
Or sorry, sadistic behavior.
Sadistic, yeah.
And it is to make her not feel comfortable, all of it.
Because if you think about, look, I'm in a relationship. There's times where my partner and I have gotten into a fight before we have to go somewhere. If you love someone, you don't give them a silent treatment when they're meeting people for the first time.
Yeah, it's awful.
You say, this sucks. I'm really mad at that person right now, but I love them. I'm going to try to make the best of this experience, and we'll talk about it later. Instead of this idea, because he tells her later, well, I think when I get upset, I just need time to process things. I disagree with that. I think there is, yes, people need time to process things. People don't need, unless it's maybe something like earth-shattering, like your partner cheated on you or whatever, or they've got another baby or whatever, or they don't have a 401k. I know that takes Poodle about a week to get over.
Yeah.
But this, I just want to say, I think this
they
is
they can't produce their three different credit scores.
No, then Poodle's going to take a couple of days. But I think overall, this is just another way of him just wanting to just punish her. Because she even says, I feel like I'm being punished. He's like, no, I'm not punishing you. I just need my time.
Did you also hear him say, if I did hurt you, I would apologize.
You never, no.
But no, y'all,
you never apologize for the prank.
The phrasing of this tells you everything. Yeah. Number one, if I actually did something, because I never do anything wrong, I would apologize because I'm a good person.
It makes you think what?
You're a bad person.
Yeah, it makes you think what's different than I only hit you because I loved you.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's so close to all that.
The other thing he, did you hear him say that when the kids, he's like, the kids are here and I want to keep their innocence. I don't want our kid, it's just trying to be so noble and such bullshit. And he's like, and really, she dampened the mood. And I went, you fucking idiot. That is not how, you don't damper the mood.
No, actually, I don't think idiot's the right word. You fucking sinister genius. Because he's saying that she dampened the mood because he's
no, he said dampered. He used the wrong way.
He said damper?
Yeah, he said dampered the mood.
I heard dampened.
You dampered the mood. You either put a damper on something, wow. Y'all.
Are you damping?
You don't dampen the mood. That's not a thing.
No, you don't. He said damper.
He said dampered.
Yes, dampered.
I just went, what? And I had to listen to it again. She dampered the mood.
She dampered. Dampered sounds like some type of frolic or walk you do. He dampered across the bed after I pummeled him.
Exactly. Or pampers for your granddad.
Gross.
When they get old. I don't know if I have too much. There's this one scene where she's been dropped off, and it's kind of upsetting. She's doing yoga, y'all, just to fucking center herself.
Oh yeah.
And
I just want to say, what were your thoughts? Because I know I had a reaction when she met his ex-wife.
The ex-wife is uncomfortable, and the ex-wife also doesn't want to give Shida any sense of comfortability. The ex-wife is like Bilal. She's going to make Shida work for this.
You think? See, I got that she doesn't even want to be bothered with him.
Oh, she said, we got to go. I think it was all a power play.
You think it? See, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I don't like her either.
I'm saying I don't know what's coloring it. To me, I thought it was like not as a power play, but she was just like, I'm just so done with this man.
No.
Because I bet if he treats her like Shida like this, he probably tried to treat his ex-wife like this.
I'm sure, but you hear her say, no, we're going to have a lot more to talk about later. Did you ever say that?
Yeah.
I think it's all a power move.
See, I took that as her saying, we'll sit down, we'll talk. I just feel like she just doesn't want to be around him. But maybe...
Well, I think for a lot of ex-wives...
We don't know. We're both just guessing on this.
For a lot of ex-wives, when you meet the new wife or the new girlfriend, the experience is, I need to show her... I tend to show them that I'm the mother of the kids, and some parts of that will always come first.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of the new wife having to pay deference to that. Mm-hmm. And in this family, I know that's the case. Mm-hmm. And did you? She even said, "I don't know, Shida, blah, blah, blah." You even heard her talk about her that way. Mm-hmm. So I don't think she was either being nice. I think she did not. I agree. She does not want to engage with Bilal as little as possible. But I think she also may be being avoidant because she doesn't want to acknowledge the fact that her kids are going to have to be around another person.
This will be an interesting tell-all because I don't think I'll be interested, and I hope.
I've been thinking about what Sean's going to do for him.
Sean's not going to do anything. Sean's going to have the bruisers in her ear. Yeah. That's what. If she does, I'll be shocked. But I think Ari is going to be triggered by this storyline. I think Kara is going to be pissed by this storyline. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe Emily too.
With her tongue sitting there the whole time.
For sure, Ari and Kara are going to call Bilal out.
I agree with you.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I think this could be a very explosive tell-all. Mark my words, Bilal's going to get up and leave.
I think you're right. Yeah. They will never, ever be part of the Naida universe again.
And possibly I could see even Patrick calling him out.
I don't know.
Calling Bilal out.
Maybe. We'll see.
And Mohammed might shut down and they'll have to plug him in again.
Can someone plug me in?
Oh, all right. Is that all I have? Or you have?
I need rebooting. No, it's just at the end where...
Oh, that broke my heart when she said, when this happened, I felt isolated. And if my partner said, I felt isolated, I would say, honey, I am so sorry that you felt alone. That would break my heart.
Did he even apologize to her? No, he said, if I hurt you, I would apologize. That's what I was talking about. And
imagine, y'all, the person you love says, I felt isolated and alone. And you just go, that sucks.
And then the worst thing that happens at the end, she apologizes and says, I will never hit you again. And he goes, okay. So he got what he wanted, full submission.
Yeah, he didn't even, just let her know, she got ready for a date night because she didn't even know if their date night was still on.
Right, and he threatened it.
He didn't have the decency to text her for 2 hours saying, hey, I'm not really in the mood. Can we talk about it later?
Yikes. That's all I have. Should we take a commercial? Mm-hmm. All right.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreau!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love- love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze.
It makes me even more stressed when you're not stressed. And you should be stressed because we have our own apartment and it's being paid for right now. But I need an apartment that comes with a nanny.
Welcome, everyone, to the newest season of The Real World. Where Ari comes,
oh, yes.
Where Ari comes home and realizes this is what happens when shit gets real.
When people stop being polite and start getting real. The Real World, Princeton. You know, I'm kind of enjoying watching this for them.
I love this season of them.
Because now, number one, we realized two things. Number one,
yes.
All of their problems were not just in Africa.
No.
Their problems, as Ari said, oh, wait, our problems followed us from Africa. You know why? Because you both have problems regardless of where you are.
That's yeah. Everyone, honey.
Number
welcome. Welcome to adult life. Because when you're a kid, you think that problems are
situational
and in one environment.
And guess what? Number two, Beanie is useless.
He's useless.
And
he is useless.
He is a dreamer. And y'all, you can be a dreamer as long as you want. But you still need to have practical ideas, especially if you're someone who is with Ari. And she said something at the end that we'll talk about it. And I said, that's one of the most compelling and saddest things that she could say. She said, because Beanie is always dreaming, it always leaves me being the practical one. And then I can't be the one, I can't have dreams.
So normally I would feel bad for someone, but Ari is so, what she really is saying there, what she really to me is saying, normally I'm the one that gets taken care of all the time.
Oh yeah, that's
and
truly.
Now I can't get taken care of, and I'm having to do this role that she doesn't want to do. And I think actually in a way it's going to blow things up from her by moving back, because her parents are going to hold her to the fire more. Actually, I thought her parents might help her more, but I actually think that I bet her parents helped her more when they were in Ethiopia.
No, yeah.
Because she played the I'm in Ethiopia card.
No.
And she showed her mother all those horrible places. Not that every place but I'm saying she particularly picked apartments that were horrible to freak her mom out.
Because this being in Ethiopia is recreating something that is familiar for her.
Yes. What,
because you're rebelling against your parents.
Yes.
With someone they don't know in a strange environment.
I'm going to raise my baby in this bathroom
I'm going to climb mountains in Afghanistan. So why this is weird is she thinks it's going to be great for her. It's number one. It's the best of all possible worlds because it's America. Because y'all, she's a basic Starbucks latte bitch like all of us.
She just
hides it well.
She thinks she's an Enneagram
four. She thinks she's an Enneagram four.
She probably even reads that. She's like, I'm not even that. I'm like way different.
So y'all, but she thinks this is going to be great. But she's going to be constantly bothered by her parents reminding her that they are paying for everything.
Oh, for sure.
And so I guarantee you, Ari's going to be a lot more stressed out here than she was in Ethiopia.
You're going to wish you had a sister-in-law to throw wine in your face whenever your sister next week already. Next week, Benny meets the rest of her family. And you
remember
see,
the sister with the glasses who already hates her?
Sister hates Ari. She fucking hates her. And the brother just wants to do coke and doesn't care.
Yes.
He's just like, I want to fucking party.
Oh, he's like a big cokehead.
Somebody told us that. Benny and him will probably get along great.
Yeah.
But it is, It's wonderful. It's what. So she serves him. God,
she gives him a cup of Keurig coffee, and he's like, "This is coffee?"
He's like, "This is what his body does look good."
He's a little too bulked for me. He still looks good though. I don't love too many muscles.
He needs to be a. The one thing Benny could do, I don't think he'd be great at it, but in Princeton, because he stands out so much already there, because A, there's not a lot of black people, A, he's not American, and he's beautiful, he could make a career of just personal training and not even being that great, but there's probably people that would hire him to do that.
I don't know anything about the personal training market in Princeton.
No, I'm saying it's. So. I think it's very hard to be a personal trainer because it's you've got to work your own business. You've got to like.
It's hard. Yeah.
But we know people in LA that work. But you think about it. Do you know how many basic white blonde Pilates bitches will just work out with
just Greeny because the way because he looks?
That's yep. what I'm saying. Like, I think it would be easier for him.
But he's not really interested in that. He wants to do things. He wants to do. I'm not saying MMA fighting is not real, but it's kind of not.
Well, he wants Jabri in the one song.
Yeah, but he wants to do. He wants to do stuff. He wants to do kid jobs.
Yeah.
He wants to do like I want to be a sea captain.
I mean,
I want to drive a submarine because that's how emotionally mature he is.
Which, let's be honest, we practically have a kid job, but you and I both had...
That was a read.
We literally just sit here and talk about television, but we also worked day jobs and did our shit to make our dreams happen.
I think where we come from and the mindset is very different, though, than where his mindset.
Because, and it's interesting because Beanie did make money in Ethiopia. I don't know how, but I guess people really do look at, you know, on Ethiopia's X Factor, you can play the butt bongos in place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he made enough to get by. I think there's no way he ever made enough money so that they could support him.
See, I wonder if his sisters gave him money.
Possibly, or her family.
No, but even before they came. So I'm like,
possibly.
What did Benny do? I feel like I don't think he did it probably on his own. The more I think about it, and it shows how scared Mimi and Wish were, I bet they've been giving him money. And
probably.
They know.
No, he's always been helped.
They just know he's useless.
He said, or later on, he's like, no, it's okay for your family to help you. In my culture, that's what happens. Family helps you.
So I think he has just been, y'all, he's been fucking playing the I'm the baby brother card, and now he's coming over here, and it's not going to fly.
Well, the thing is, Beanie is completely fine with the parents giving him money. It's fine. That's cultural for him.
Yeah.
And so Ari, however, is not, because it's not the same them paying for her in Ethiopia.
No.
Than when she's here.
And if she has to accept money from her parents while she's here, that means a part of her has to listen to her parents.
Yes.
And she does not want to do that.
And her friends and everyone who she wants to be jealous of her are going to know that her parents
are paying.
She's
living in an apartment 5 minutes from her parents.
Yes. So, y'all, he basically says, this is not coffee, it's hot water. And it's a funny little cute scene.
It is.
But I like this idea that this is a person who comes from probably some of the best coffee in the world, and she makes him a fucking Keurig cup of coffee. She's like, it's American coffee.
That's not American coffee. But I mean,
we don't have a coffee. You know what American coffee is? Sanka. Instant coffee.
It kind of is. I guess we just.
That's our version.
You know, really, we just got better with coffee in America in the last like 10 years, really, with like coffee places and stuff.
No,
like that.
Starbucks has been around for like 15, 20 years.
Starbucks, I mean, is like. That's kind of.
It's been around a long time, but it's been really popular 15,
yeah.
20 years.
But yeah, you're right. When our parents. Our parents drank shitty coffee.
Folgers crystals.
Yeah, that's what Aunt Peggy used to make.
Or like instant coffee is terrible. But my mother would do like they would do like just like the open the coffee can of and it would be bitter, it would be weak. My mother still can't drink strong coffee. The coffee's very weak.
Really?
That she drinks, yeah. Think about the people where you grew up. The coffee's weak.
Yeah, I guess it was when you think about it. Was Folgers in the red can?
No.
Or is that Maxwell House?
That's Maxwell House.
That's what my mother used to have.
So they are, he says.
I would say their baby is so cute.
Oh, that little
baby. Is smart.
Avi, yeah.
He is very.
Big old eyes.
But like the way he's talking and Jack, like this kid. One thing I feel like they are doing is they both seem very involved with this baby, and he seems to like be soaring as far as his development. So good on them. That's something.
I didn't know you got a childhood development degree.
Well, I did. I studied it some.
What?
We did. We had to study it when you did your master's, like child therapy. We did a whole.
But how do you know?
We did a whole semester on child development and had to go observe babies and kids.
Boring.
Behind a little glass wall. It was so fun.
Sounds awful.
Oh, no.
Ugh. Anyway.
I can go observe you next time with your nephews, and I could just, in 5 minutes, I could say, yeah, Jake, they're scared of you.
They're not scared of me, actually.
Actually, I'll say, so that young one is going to eat your soul, Poodle.
No, that's the thing. They don't have any fear.
They're
going
to take you down. I love it. That's what nephews and nieces do.
She basically says, you know, I'm really stressed out that if we can afford this apartment and all the bills. She brings this up a lot.
I'm not trying to stress you out. I'm just telling you my feelings.
And
was a good thing to say.
And you remember, you can't tell my mom no. And she's like, she says, now remember, I've always handled the finances. Basically, what you've done is when your mother sends you a check or wires you money, you decide what to do with it. And I'm sure Beanie just gave her.
I do agree with her when she says Beanie wasn't good at finances.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure just like had money that he got that night and just like threw the wadded up money at her.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure the sisters did the same thing
I played the butt tonight. I got 40 bucks.
But I'm sure the sisters did the same thing where he would say, here, Wish. Here, Mimi, is what I made.
I bet the sisters were still giving. Well, if they were giving money on the side, I don't know. Anyway, there's more to that. But yes, so you feel for her in a way but you really don't, because you got to remember, Ari acts like it's a burden that she had to think about money.
No,
but she wanted it that way.
I just think that this is very. This season's going to be very satisfying for viewers to watch for Ari, because. She's been skating by with her parents giving her money for two seasons of The Other Way. Now she's here and she's got to face reality.
Yes.
And it's not going to be a good look for her.
No.
Yeah. So they're basically going, he says, what are you going to do? And he's like, well, I want to be a super fighter, very successful. I'm dreaming, and to be an MMA fighter is my dream. And she goes, well, I researched it, and they don't make a lot of money.
Which she never has.
Right.
She did the logical steps.
I know.
He never did that.
Yeah.
And will never do that.
I just like as soon as he said what it was, she's like, here's some cold water. But you're right. We all need that. But it was so quick how she dismissed it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. But it's so quick, because this is what she deals with all the time is Beanie has another dream. So now we've got to jump on this dream.
So the next thing, y'all, she's showing her Princeton, and she's like, that's their bar. And he's like, better not find you at the bar.
Yeah, buy you there.
And he
does say, wow, it feels like, he's like, I could start living here. It's very expensive, which... The way she said it was like, we're never living here. Like, you can't afford this.
And
that was the way
he kind of dreams, and I don't think she should support this, because it's ridiculous feelings, or ridiculous kind of suppositions. She's like, he's like, I'm going to buy you a house like this one day. And I wanted her to look, and she's like, these are like million dollar houses. Yeah. And I'm like, no, they're 10 million, honey. You should know that.
Yeah, they're... ridiculous.
They're more than that, probably. But as soon as Beanie said that, I was like, boy, he really doesn't get it.
No, he is so clueless. And the way that you know Beanie is so clueless is they decide to go to New York. She takes him for a day. Mom's watching the kid. And
he's
Beanie
dancing
is the
in the
guy
subway.
Who dances in the subway.
That's pissed
how
me
you
the fuck
know
off.
Beanie is clueless. Y'all, I hate it when people that is
Showtime, Showtime.
You know that is right there. And I'm not saying this to be facetious. Something just dropped. It fell in your bag. It's fine. That is the number one reason why I will never live in New York.
Dancing on the subway?
Because if I lived in New York, I would have to take a cab all the time because I have no desire to sit on a fucking subway when I have my 5 minutes to myself and watch somebody do a fucking So You Think You Can Dance on a goddamn train.
I wish it was as good as So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah, it's terrible. And it's terrible. It's just such... It feels like such an assault on my senses.
Well, you know why? Because why you feel it, it's an injustice is because the doors are closed and no one can go anywhere.
And we're riding like 30 miles an hour on a train. I could even handle like some people have said like, oh, there was somebody like I'm tired of seeing people that are have a mental illness, like jacking off to me. I'm like, I don't want that either, but I could deal with any of that. But I've had a friend who threw up on the subway because a homeless person smelled so bad. I could deal with that.
Oh, I'm used.
But doing your fucking dance and swinging on a pole makes me so rageful. I will never live in New York.
It is
unless I'm beyond.
It is upsetting.
It
doesn't happen on every train though.
I know that's probably fucking elitist, but it's just I just
you are wound up about this.
Can't do it. Oh, it makes me so angry.
Showtime, Showtime.
Oh
yeah, it is. It, y'all, if you live in New York and
not gonna forget that
and you hear that phrase, that you'll be triggered by it because no one likes
doing
Showtime.
Doing it on a sidewalk on Hollywood Boulevard in Times Square. Go right ahead.
Because I can walk away.
Or sometimes and oftentimes even on Hollywood Boulevard, I'll stop and watch because they're really good.
There's something, I think what it is there's something about someone in a confined space saying, let me share my talent.
When we're at a, yes.
For money.
When we're at a place that's, it's even, again, it's like we all have to do this.
Yeah.
None of us want to ride
this train. Let's respect other people's boundaries.
It's like, it's the same thing as if you're going to a fucking dentist and in the middle of you getting a root canal, you're like dental hygienist says, hey, I'm auditioning for like the circus this week. Let me show you my flying trapeze routine.
Watch me do a cartwheel.
And you're like, I'm just trying to get through this bitch.
It's like that went viral of that the group of kids who were singing praise songs on the plane. Did you see that?
I don't want to hear
singing,
that.
And I was like, and I think it was a charter plane, but that people were freaking out about it. They're like, they should tell the flight attendants. But that would, if it was a regular plane flight, first of all, I would say, sit the fuck down.
I don't even care if it's a praise song. I don't want to hear you choir singing stuff, which is why y'all. The first rule Poodle and I learned when we started flying so much, get yourself some noise-canceling headphones.
It's the only way to fly.
I don't care how much they are. It is the
only
way
to do it.
It's the only
way to fly.
Sorry, that just made me angry.
Wait, you just got triggered.
Oh, it bothers me so much.
They're having fun, and they're to a bar, and he just has this moment. That's why, because Beanie is how old? Because Beanie looks at him like... He's one of the cast members of Smash and just goes, let's live here. Yes. We can get an apartment together and I'll go audition for Broadway shows. Yes. And Ari just goes, seriously, we don't have jobs. And at that moment, y'all, the whole audience was Ari and y'all don't want to admit it. But when
I felt, I agreed with her. I literally, I watched and I went, you go, Ari. And then I shut my mouth and went, what did I just say?
And with them, she's totally giving him a reality check. And she's like, and she starts talking about stress again. And then he's like, calm down. You're ruining my day. And as soon as he said that, she's like, I don't care. She's like, I did everything. I brought you here, and all the thing is me. And I'm ruining your day.
Now I'm ruining your
day. Oh,
but she's
100% right.
By the way,
God, I hate making Ari right.
He's 31.
What?
Yes,
he's 31 years old.
He's 30 or 31.
Wow.
And she is 29.
Wow.
She's having a Saturn Returns its partner in the ass.
Y'all, I guarantee if you're one who says I 31. Hate watching Ari and Beanie this season, I would say tune in because this is going to be
it's good.
This is going to be like that the guy on Kimmy Schmidt. This is going to be an interesting development.
It is an
interesting situation.
Next week is just going to get even better.
Yeah, because he's going to be doing training, and Ari sees him training women.
Oh.
She's going to have a problem with
oh,
it.
Oh yes.
And
here's what I want to say though too. Why is there no mention about Ari working?
That's a really good question.
What can Ari do?
She's not a freelance writer.
I mean, I know she's helped her dad and stuff, but it's like, what jobs can you do? Because clearly, there's a conversation, but they need to clarify and say, if they're talking about their money and their finances, then they need to hear that Beanie and I thought it would be best for me to stay home and take care of the kid.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that she's never going to indict herself, obviously. She's mm-hmm. much more comfortable complaining about the state of things.
Yes.
Should we talk about what is that man doing here with me there? Can't live if living is without B-Day. Y'all, it's even Muhammad.
Muhammad.
And he is...
Is Muhammad normally spelled with only one M?
I think it's two.
But he spells his name with one.
Oh, okay. You know what? Maybe it is one.
I thought it was two as well.
Okay.
I've been spelling it with two. I think that's the way Muhammad
is two.
Spelled his name, but maybe it's
I don't know. Maybe I'm.
They do spell
incorrect.
It in the Chiron. Chiron, yes, with one.
So, y'all, Muhammad is in the room. I call a little bit of audacity in this because, of course, he would hear the plumbing man come in. And so Theron is dancing, and Muhammad's just like sitting there, like.
No, he's plugged in. That's it. You didn't
no,
see it.
He's just sitting there watching the unicorns in his head just to go do 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 and that
he's charging. I'm telling you, that's his charging spot.
And that just peaceful lobotomized stare.
Yeah, uh-huh. Staring there, mouth open, smiling, mouth open.
The plumber is there because he couldn't put B-Day together.
No.
And he walks in with the plumber in kind of the room, and he's like, what's going on in here?
And she's like, well, the plumber's here to give you your bidet that didn't need to be here because it was easy to install, but neither know how to do
you,
it. Don't get me
you
started.
You can't be alone in Islam. This is not right. If you're not home, if I'm not home, you call me, and we figure something out if I'm not home. I did some research in this because I wanted to clarify. And I know it's true. It's why you hear people in Islam, people don't date. You're not supposed to be alone because they say if a man and woman are alone, and they're not members of a family together, that Satan is the other person.
Oh,
and they will make you do things. You will commit adultery or something like that.
Can a man and a man be alone in a room?
I don't think the Quran speaks on that.
Then we're fine.
I know.
We're good.
I do just fine. I do just fine in Islam. I think there's more to it than that.
Oh, there might be some. We
I
might hit
a,
some other road.
I have
blump,
a feeling there
bump.
Might be a little more dogma that we're ignoring.
Poodle's
I'm like,
converting.
I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, what? Hey, can I bring my wife in here? No, no, you
no,
can't.
No, she does. No, she's not allowed. But
not
only
with me.
Men.
Now bend over.
So, the other thing about this is it is because you can be around like female members of your family. Mm-hmm. You know, those are okay, but it's to keep people from adultery. And it's interesting, and I want to keep going. And she approaches this in a really in a way where it's like, well, I wish you'd told me. Like, this is another weird rule of Islam I've never heard. Even a cursory exploration of Islam would have told you this. Now, yeah. He has said, and I feel like I'm going hard on Eve here, because a lot of people who say she should be able to do anything she wants, he couldn't fix the bidet, but this isn't about Egypt, and she says, well, you're in America now. That has nothing to do with it. No. American Muslims will also do this. And so it was, she reacted in a way, I thought he reacted in a way, it's like, you can make a list if you want to, or you can read the Quran.
She jokingly said, I should make a list. And he went, yeah, that's what you do. Yes,
you
and she
was should like, make
I was kind of kidding when I said that. He's like, no,
you make a list. You really should make a list.
But
Coke bottle, lacrosse.
The
grave.
Reason why I don't think it's fraudacity, it's because I don't know if Muhammad can be fraudacity.
I'm saying it was fraudacity that he did not hear the guy come in.
That seemed odd. And I, you know,
what do you think about this? I
didn't like how Eve immediately just went, I've done all these things for you,
yes,
to make you feel at home, and I wanted to say, that has nothing to do with this. This is about, you haven't, neither of you have had, seem to have a conversation about this.
I can't believe, I did not think I would be team lobotomized Coke bottle blowing across a sound, but I am team Muhammad.
Well, I'm not necessarily team, I'm more team something I don't think either of them learned in kindergarten is compromised, because
yeah,
they just seem like way, both of them have unrealistic expectations, because Eve seems like she's like, well, I'll just throw away some tops and that'll be it.
Right.
And Muhammad acts like she's going to completely convert to everything about his religion.
She actually, he doesn't think that. He said, I don't, you don't have to convert. That's what
he's. But if he's culturally, like, she's going to she's not going to actually convert, but she's going to go through all these processes.
I would agree that this is a part of the religion that is important. And I think if you're with a Muslim man,
I don't think
man,
it matters what we think.
Yeah.
I think they haven't sat down and said,
they haven't discussed
what
it.
Are
you're
you
right.
Willing, what is comfortable for you and what's comfortable for me? Where can we, what's that thing called? Compromise.
Right. But I think, I would tell you that there is no compromise in religion. And
oh,
so,
please, I know, yeah.
And so I would, but I don't think they're going to be able to talk about that. And he'll just say, no, that's what you don't do in Islam. And then they just stop.
And so, I think that she kind of thought, A, because y'all, he's dumb. And B, she has all the power in this relationship because she has all the money. I kind of think Eve might have just thought, yeah, I'll end up getting what I want for the most part anyway. Because
I agree.
I'm the one, I can kind of just bulldoze him over.
I agree. But it's interesting, you said you're 100% correct when they didn't talk about any of this. If he said, I did not want you to convert, and she's like, but I'm not Muslim. But he said, but you're in a relationship with a Muslim man, and how I practice my faith means as my wife, you can't be alone with another man.
I don't think they've talked. I think he's just told her things, but she's never. I don't think Eve has actually come back at him and said, not in an aggressive comeback, but just say, I'm not comfortable with that. Think about the way she acted before he came. It's almost like he's just says stuff and she goes, I think Eve has just said, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think she ever said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I feel sorry. I do feel sorry for Robot, because I think he's going to be surprised. Like, you never said this to me.
You will get it done.
I think he's going to be completely blindsided by her standing up for what she wants, which is totally normal, but it's just she's doing it now when he's here and not over the phone.
And
do you think, though, I want to ask you, do you think she probably did that because she worried if she told him that he wouldn't come?
Possibly. The other thing, I think she thinks it as an American Egypt thing. And he would say, that's not how things are in my country. But when he's basically saying, in my country, he's saying, me as a Muslim, that's not what we do. And so this is much more a question of religion than this is nationality. And yeah. She's not understanding that.
No, she's not at
which
all.
Which is, she seems like a reasonably intelligent person, and either she's just dense that she, you
it
know.
It really goes, it honestly, I kind of feel like, why did you get together then? Because...
He was the only one who thought she was hot, and she took the first one.
That's what I'm saying, is that y'all just didn't think this through in that. Because the problem with them, and we've said this before, they have a different value system for each other.
Yes.
That usually never changes, nope. As we've talked about.
And
it's going to be a long road.
He was swiping down there but to quell his lust for dick.
Because Avery and Omar...
Me and Omar. I'm not familiar with Avery and Omar.
It's true. But Avery changed her value system.
She did.
She actually literally, and that's what her mother had such a problem with, but she changed it, and they seem very happy now.
And I think it's possible for someone to be in interfaith marriages and be successful, but you have to do a lot of talking.
You have to do a lot of, yes. I mean, even people that one's Catholic, another person's Jewish. That's a lot of talking.
That's a big divide.
But this is even a bigger divide.
Yeah.
And so it's...
She sounds like she's not even familiar with Islam.
No, I don't think she Googled. I think she just... I think she consulted some crystals and maybe, you know...
Because hopefully...
Because what does he think about her faith and spirit? Because she's mentioned that she has Native American roots and that she...
No, that's true.
Like... What does he think about that?
And there is always, with every religion, there is a, I pick and choose what parts of this I follow. And some people who either are religion or criticize, especially Muslims, for, well, they just pick and choose whichever they want. I'm like, yeah, everyone pick and chooses. That's all religions. If I'm Christian, I decide not to wear, if I want to wear polyester, I can. Because that's outlawed in the Old Testament.
Yeah, you don't leave the room and go to a separate space whenever you have your period.
Right.
And shit like that. Then you pick and choose.
So, yeah, we couldn't. You pick and choose what you want.
You don't. There's that story about Sodom, Gomorrah. Fine.
I always liked those. I always liked those stories. Never the end. Yeah. I felt included.
But same. I was like, wait a minute.
Those sodomites sound like fun people.
Wow. Whoa.
Bring out the men so he may have sex with them.
Yes. Ooh, sodomy.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow. Okay.
Night fever.
You can't start rubbing your legs on a bed and talking about sex. Ooh, none of that is happening in here.
Gomorrah.
I know you're used to a man sitting across from you, sitting in a chair, doing something different right now. We've got to end this show.
Yo, that's the show!
Y'all, hey, there's no video this week if you're looking on...
Because we don't have a camera.
Well,
I got one in my bag, but it's full.
It's full. SIM card is full on that, on data card. Living.
That's going over the picklefinder.net.
So we're going to remind you to go to our live shows. We're going to remind you about that. We're going to remind you to come see us in London on Wednesday, the 25th of May at 8 p.m. Get your tickets for that.
Ow, what am I sitting on?
And I didn't forget, shockingly, because normally I do, but if you don't want to hear the spoiler, then you can close out now. But Poodle, what did you want to talk about?
Okay. A sissy did several voice. I think I won't say her name because I don't want to. Maybe I will. I'll say Sissy blah blah.
It's
I won't say her.
Sissy Fennifer.
I won't say her.
Maybe miss the shout out.
Why is this? Oh no, we had to stop doing that because y'all. People just fought for them. That's why we stopped doing shout outs.
And also, they just ended up. Fucking. They just were just
what
too slutty.
What was her name?
I don't know.
This is riveting.
It is.
Bonnie. Sissy Bonnie.
Fonny.
Sissy Fonny. Sissy Bonnie said that.
My mother's name.
She, I'm not going to say how she knows this. Okay. They're a friend of a husband and a friend of a this. Okay. They know Bilal.
Oh, so sorry.
And they talked to a friend. They are still married.
Oh, yeah.
They are married, as we knew they would be.
Yeah.
And, but that is the long and the short of it. And apparently he was, how they found out was there was in the man cave, you know, favorite thing, there was a firefighter a helmet. And I think her significant other said, oh, he's a firefighter. Okay. And they're like, oh, I wonder if that's blah, blah, blah. And he had a coworker who's like, oh, that's the same name, who that might be. And so they knew someone, and they asked a coworker, and it's true. So they are still. We called this like two episodes ago. We're like, this is so fucking toxic. But these are the kind who stay together. Yep. Yeah. So
God, I want to know what Nikki's doing now. I think she went underground.
I think she did too.
Thank God they got divorced.
Hopefully, it's just underground communication and not underground literally.
I'm telling you. We normally don't raise money for 90-day people, but
I would raise money.
I would start a GoFundMe for her.
She'd have to be on our show, though.
Yes, for that.
I got to get my pound of flesh.
On that note, everybody,
that's an expression.
I know, but when you say it, it sounds gross.
When I say pound and flesh together, yeah, I get you.
All right, everybody.
Oh my God, it's an upholstered headboard, my least favorite thing in the world.
All right. Poodle has got to go because
I got to put some plastic wrap on this.
You've got to get it ready for tonight's piano cutting.
That's going to be some Dexter-style plastic wrapping for this
room.
If
you're in the U.S. and you're freaky deaky and want some morning sex play, well, Poodle will be here at night. So there you go. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to. Go to our Linktree link for our ticket links. And we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, Poods?
Yes. And if you're a Muslim who believes in the social distance rules or religious distancing,
yes,
come at us.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.